I find that I'm
leaving.
Hello, everyone. Containment is one of the enduring themes of this channel, as well as on my Substack, The Forbidden Texts. I have devoted many words to this topic, many videos to this topic, which I'd encourage you to watch if you haven't already done so. In a nutshell, though, containment is when the center of power decides that it is time to bring in some of the dissident energy by acknowledging that dissidents to the system perhaps have a point, and in doing so, they release a pressure valve. Now, the biggest issue in British politics today, and in Canadian politics, and in American politics, and in politics all across the West, is immigration. And especially the sustained immigration that we have had to endure over the past decade or so, and especially in the years since COVID. In fact, recently I did an interview with a chap called Unbecoming, and here's what I said about immigration. It's a strong statement, and I think it's worth reading out in full before we consider these speeches by Trudeau, and especially the one by Starmer, which I believe are incredibly significant in the politics of the West in general. And I'll talk about more about why that is soon. But first, let me read this statement that I made on immigration in this interview with Unbecoming, which I'll link in the show notes. I said, and I quote, "Immigration has become the only issue. The level of mass immigration we are currently experiencing is one of the most radical experiments in human history. It is a disaster for everyone concerned. The people, writ large, rightly oppose it, and frankly, I can have no respect for anyone who continues to defend it. There are no legitimate arguments for it. Economic, moral, historical, psychological, social. It is only bad, only downside. But even let us pretend that there are legitimate, say, economic arguments for it. Note, there are not. The downsides are so overwhelming that it is akin to trying to justify knocking down the Colosseum in Rome because it might be blocking the sun and you want to get a tan. The upside of your tan, which might only last a few weeks in any case, is dwarfed by the monumental evil, not to mention the consequences, economic, moral, historical, psychological, social, of knocking down one of the wonders of the world. Advocates of mass immigration should be viewed in those terms as being beyond moral redemption." Now, that's a very strong statement on immigration that I made, but I think it sums up how many people feel. And I said that it was only going to be so long until the powers that be in the regime cottoned on to the extent of the anger over this and to the fact that it's basically not working. The promised benefits did not come. All it's done really is made life more miserable. It's made people poorer. It's made the country more crowded. It's produced a housing crisis. And basically, it just has made everything worse. And everybody can feel it, and everybody knows the reason why. So it's really interesting to see these two figures. I'm going to play Trudeau first, and then I'm going to play Starmer. I'm going to play them back to back, and then I'm going to talk about the significance of these two interventions by, let's face it, the faces of globalism. Trudeau is the most globalist of all of the world leaders, or he has been. And Keir Starmer, of course, basically is seen by many people as the leader of quote-unquote woke North Korea now. I'm talking about Britain. So for these two to be the mouthpieces signalling this change is massive, but there's more. And I'll talk about the other significances after the clips.
Immigration. Let's talk about it. In the last 2 years, our population has grown really fast, like baby boom fast. And increasingly, bad actors like fake colleges and big chain corporations have been exploiting our immigration system for their own interests. So we're doing something major. We're reducing the numbers of immigrants that will come to Canada for the next 3 years. Today, I'm going to let you in on what happened where we made some mistakes, and why we're taking this big turn.
What the British people are owed is an explanation. Because a failure on this scale isn't just bad luck. It isn't a global trend or taking your eye off the ball. No, this is a different order of failure. This happened by design, not accident. Policies were reformed deliberately to liberalise immigration. Brexit was used for that purpose, to turn Britain into a one-nation experiment in open borders. Global Britain. Remember that slogan? That is what they meant. A policy with no support, of which they then pretended wasn't happening. And now they want to wave it away with a simple, we got it wrong. Well, that's unforgivable.
Now, that is a really strong statement by Keir Starmer. Now, of course, the proximate causes of this statement are, one, Starmer's own historic unpopularity, which I've covered on this channel in previous weeks, and two, the fact that Kemi Badenoch came out with a statement saying that the Tory party had made mistakes on immigration, blah, blah, blah. Then what the government did is that they released the immigration numbers under the Tories, which are near net 1 million immigration, ladies and gentlemen. It went down a tiny bit last year, but it's still over 780,000, which is eye-wateringly staggering. So those were the kind of political reasons that Starmer did it. But there's a statement in there that is hugely significant, friends. I hope you caught him. It is the fact that he said that it was a deliberate policy under the Tories, a deliberate policy where they changed rules in order to run a kind of liberal experiment. Truly remarkable. The reason this is remarkable is that saying that just a couple of years ago could get you banned from all social media and possibly a knock from your local bobby on the beat. Right? We have been told repeatedly that this was a conspiracy theory. The fact that it was a deliberate policy was the domain of quote-unquote far-right conspiracy theory. Now the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, in an official record, which will stay there forever on the record books, by the way, has basically admitted that the British government, the previous one, granted under Boris Johnson and Rishi Sunak, deliberately ran this experiment as active policy. It's huge. It really is huge. It is basically a decade's worth of online right, dissident right, talking points wrapped up in one sentence and officially recognised. Now, of course, the other reason that both Trudeau and Starmer are doing this is because they want to contain populism. This was always the plan of the Dark Lord, Tony Blair. He's gone on record of saying this is how you solve the issue. It's also going to be the method by which, of course, he wants to bring in digital ID. I have done hours and hours of content outlining the dark and Machiavellian mind of Tony Blair. And I don't know why, but it seems like the Labour government have started to listen to the Dark Lord once again, because maybe it was the ousting of Sue Gray, maybe it is the unprecedented popularity, but very clearly Starmer has had a bit of a knock on the door himself. The Dark Lord has taken him aside and says, he said, listen, you're going to do this, Keir. You're going to do this, Keir, because we need to stop the rise of populism, blah, blah, blah. It is kind of strange, isn't it? It's like, give the people something of what they want in order to take the raison d'etre away from somebody like Nigel Farage and Reform. And I've already seen leftists on Twitter, or Labour supporters, I should say, celebrating the fact that they think Reform are done now, because it's taken the Labour government a couple of months to deport 30,000 people. which is 30,000 more people than the Tories managed in however long. Now, I always said, if you go back and read my articles, I always said that Labour would do this. And it's been interesting to see how, I mean, that they had the worst start humanly possible with Southport and all the other things that they've done. But I think this is maybe Starmer's attempt to be shown to do something that the country actually wants. Whether he will, of course, is a different question. But what's significant, not only admitting it was deliberate policy and that they're going to be different now, but also they have parked their tanks basically right on Reform's lawn. Starmer now, Steve Laws is pretty much the hardest core anti-immigration voice in British politics. Okay, I don't know him that well. We've exchanged a couple of messages and things, but he is known basically as being the most hardcore anti-immigration voice. For him to be saying that Starmer is more hardcore on immigration than Nigel Farage now is, I mean, it's a seismic change overnight, really. So it's asking a question. Is Farage going to continue to be this wet blanket that we've seen? Because, I mean, essentially what Starmer's done here, he has basically nuked Kemi Badenoch and the Tories, nuked them. And now he's got Farage in his sights. Farage is being milquetoast. Farage is being wet. They've done the classic Blairite, strafe as hard right as you can, catch the enemy on the hop. How is Farage going to respond? Is he going to come out fighting, or is he going to continue doing this gay nonsense, basically, that he has been doing? We will see. But anyway, hugely significant moment in politics. I didn't talk that much about Trudeau, but the fact is Trudeau has actually gone one further. Trudeau has said that he's basically expects about 12% of the Canadian population to go home within a year. We're talking 5 million people that the Canadian authorities expect to leave Canada in the next 12 months. Now, obviously, Trudeau has a re-election coming up, which is one of the reasons why he's saying this. But a lot of my Canadian buddies, like Skeptical Waves, Black Horse, who's been on the channel a number of times, and other voices, are basically saying that they expect, actually, that the Canadian government may be the one that surprises people the most, that Trudeau may actually do this. Now, everybody has every right to be sceptical, of course. But I've got to be honest, I wouldn't be surprised. I've always expected the left to have more, because they're used to wielding power and they're not scared of, like, I mean, what are they going to do? Is The Guardian going to cry if Justin Trudeau deports some people, or if Keir Starmer and the Labour Party start to deport people? What are they going to say? What are they going to do? Are you racist? Like, okay, well, what then? So vote Tory? So they've got the left basically in a kind of vice-like grip. There's nowhere they can go, the left. You know, the vocal radical left. Nowhere they can go versus this. So it's an extremely effective political move. And one of the most textbook examples of containment I think we've ever seen. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. I don't want to make... I've retired from making predictions, of course. It could be that the public is, you know, so disillusioned and so far gone with the regime that none of this is going to work. Frankly, it may not even matter because this... I mean... people talk about Overton window. I'm not very fond of that phrase. But what these two interventions have done is they've basically, like, reset the conversation on immigration. That they've basically established a new ground zero where the baseline case is that deportations need to happen and immigration needs to be reduced as official government policy, which means that, in theory, the rest of the political spectrum should realign to be even more hardcore, right? So, I mean, what should happen now is Farage says, yes, this is good, but it doesn't go far enough. We actually need remigrations. We need et cetera, et cetera. Ideally, it would move in that direction. I say ideally, we have the worst right-wing parties ever seen in history, who nearly always have 100% failure rate when it comes to these things, which is why the left, you know, win and why these containment strategies work. But we will see. We will see. All right. Till next time, folks. If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the academic agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.